probably allow that.
Okay, it's about time that we begin our meeting. We welcome you all here to this regular meeting of the Central Iron County Water Conservancy District. Today is the 18th of November, 2021. I've asked Terry if she would lead us in the pledge, and then Justin will offer an invocation.
Join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we grateful for the opportunity we have to gather here as members of our community. We ask that as we go forward this night, that we might be mindful of the needs of our community, both the short-term goals and the long-term goals. Determine what is in the best interest of our community as far as water and the needs of today and of the future. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to serve. Ask you to bless us that we might be able to be led in the right direction, that we can do the things which are most beneficial for this community. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Justin and Terry. Appreciate it. Okay, the first item on our agenda is a declaration of abstentions or conflict of interest by board members. Anyone have any concerns about that? Okay, thank you.
I'll just mention really quickly that we have Spencer Jones on the phone here. He's on speakerphone here, and Tyler Allred is sick, so he's not going to be able to make it with us today. And you'll have to excuse my voice. I've got a little non-COVID cold, but we'll make it through.
Did you bring some cough drops?
He told me he didn't need anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then the next item of business is to consider approval of the minutes for our prior board meeting. You have a copy of those. Are there any corrections or additions that you'd like to consider on our prior meeting? I should have read those. I wasn't here. But
I was absent too. So I don't care. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, no one's opposed. Thank you. All right, next item is the consider of approval of the payment of bills and adjustments for the last month. I'll turn the time over to Mandy to take care of that.
Perfect, thanks. So a lot of this payments this last month were just regular payments. On page 3, you'll see that we did issue a refund on a water right assurance security deposit. Jess tracks those really closely, so we're able to be prompt about refunding the money to those that do those deposits. And on page 4, we made our payment for the well protection zone out in Sunset. We also had our pay request number 3 for the Chechani Cliff project to Munford General Contracting. Also, there was another large invoice paid for the Chechani Cliffs project on the SCADA and RTU. I didn't know if we had received all of that yet, if Richard got that to us or not, but perfect. On page 6, we had to, there was a pretty large postage increase on our customer billing. So we added some funds to make sure that we would get through the end of the year to send those out. And that was all I had to highlight, unless you guys had any questions on any of the payments.
Okay, there's no questions. I'll entertain a motion that we approve those payment of bills.
Motion that we approve the bills.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
And on the credits and debits register, there was nothing really outstanding or critical. Some account cleanup. It's the time of year when we're cleaning up accounts and getting liens put on properties. So you'll see some of that still on this register. So that's all I had on that, unless anyone had any questions.
You're Daniel French.
He owns several lots in Cedar Highlands and had just sold them, so.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, you want to go ahead and go review our...
Did we approve that already?
No.
I missed it.
We approved the payment of bills.
Okay. Very good.
So do you want to go, do you want to review the budget now, or do you, should we accomplish that when we...
Yeah, well, let's go through the 2021 budget.
Okay.
Just, we went over this in lengthy detail last month. Nothing really changed on the operational side of the budget, unless anybody has any questions. Property tax revenue, we've received about 40% of that, and so again, we'll be expecting a large check to come in. So I would like to focus a little bit on the capital side of the budget, because we talked about a couple of expenditures. And the one that we'll spend a little bit of detail on in a minute is the purchase of a piece of equipment, Mini X Traco. And so, as you can see there in our direct purchases, it's the last item there on 1671 Autos and Trucks. There's the $65,000 that is there. And just above that, too, we had at the top of that direct purchases, 1611 and 1641. We've got $50,000 for land and water rights and buildings and structures of $200,000. And we didn't expend anything there. And then, so right now, actual, there's the $169,000 that we received. And really, once we receive the additional funds, not including the loan that we received there, the $560,000, we should end the year just under $300,000 in the black. And so, you know, feel pretty comfortable and confident of where we're at coming up to the end of the year. And so I think that there definitely is some additional resources that we can move forward and look seriously at getting that Mini X. And we'll talk about that some more. So does anybody have any questions on this year's budget, where we're at? There, in the 2022 budget, it does kind of show a little bit better of the forecasting. And we could highlight that too if you'd like. But that's on page, it's in a separate handout. I think it was underneath your binder, the 2022 budget is.
Yeah.
And it's on page 4, and it's highlighted in that blue section as far as the projections for 2021. So you can see there, ending resources, where we'll end up is, like I mentioned, just a little under $300,000. So.
That's good.
That projects out our expenses as well as our projected revenues. Those projected revenues are detailed a little bit more on the following page, on page 5, on the first chart there. Mandy, are you able to run that or no?
Give it a shot.
Do you have the board meeting up? I just didn't know if the public wanted to see this. I guess I could have... Do you have any of these extra budgets, Jess?
Yeah, I have this one.
I'm just going to put it there on the table.
Yeah. I don't know, or hand it to Councilman Phillips if he's interested.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Did you want a copy of the budget?
Yes.
Of course, right? Okay.
The blue portion is what's coming out of your pocket.
So... any questions on the 2021 budget or current budget of where we're at and where we're headed? If not, that's all I wanted to visit about.
Okay, good, thank you. We don't need a motion on that, do we?
No. And then also, just for reference, you can see the any charges on our credit card there. So.
All right, now the next item then is to have a hold of public hearing on the proposed 2022 budget.
I'll make a motion to close our regular meeting and open a public hearing on the proposed 2022 budget.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All right. We're now in a public hearing on our, we've gone over this in our homework, but this is for anyone who wants to ask questions about the budget or have any concerns about the budget. Now's your chance to see if you can get us to hear you.
It's been listed on our website as well. It's over the last month and the last several weeks. And we've, as you mentioned, gone through it in detail the last couple months, started the process in September and went through it with our executive committee and then in our October meeting thoroughly. And the adjustments in this budget, 2021 budget, that you have on your hand there is there's some items that are highlighted. And so those that are highlighted are the recommendations that came out of our last meeting in October. So those are changes that were made. So the first one on page one was the water system repairs, and that was to go for tank cleaning maintenance that needs to be done. And then on the capital side of the budget, there was a reduction after we took a closer look of what was actually going to be expended in the Czechshawnee project. And so we reduced that amount, and then we increased the Pine Valley Water Supply Project line to include some of those studies that we talked about, the financial model studies to incorporate with Cedar City and Enoch City. So that's incorporated in that Pine Valley Water Project. And so bottom line, ending capital resources at the end of the year, $150,455 in the black. So those are the adjustments that were recommended last month, and you can see they're included in the budget.
Okay, so, very good. Any comments or any items that we'd like to discuss any further?
I guess just so the public's kind of aware on some of those that look large, administrative salaries, that is, that includes bringing in a new person. The same thing with our water operator line, that's looking at if we have a large project that we come or have coming up, and so we want to have be able to pay in an inspector potentially to help reduce costs with engineering inspectors, and so that's in that line. And so those are some of the large increases, as well as utilities. Utility increase is largely to the mine and its operations. So anyway, that's just some of the items there. Unless there are any questions or comments from anybody or the public, happy to answer.
John, I'll make a motion to close our public hearing and return to our regular water board meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Moving second, that we close the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Everybody's opposed. All right. All right, then the next item on our agenda is to approve the budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion that we approve this proposed budget that we just heard about.
I'll make a motion that we approve the proposed 2022 budget. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. No more. Thank you. All right. Next item is the 2022 board meeting schedule.
Well, I think it's the final.
Is that the
meeting? We have a meeting.
Is that our proposed schedule?
Section 3 of your
section 3. So is this always on the, it looks like the October meeting's a week earlier. Is that right? No. That's not, I'm looking at the holiday schedule, not it? Are these all on the third Thursdays?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have any problem with the proposed schedule for our next year's meeting?
You could look at, yeah, both both the meeting schedule and the holiday schedule, we probably can approve it once.
And the what?
The holiday schedule.
Holiday schedule?
Yeah.
Okay. No questions or concerns, I'll entertain a motion to approve both those schedules, the holiday schedule and the meeting schedule.
I'll make a motion, we approve the 2022 meeting schedule and the 2022 holiday schedule.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, next item is number seven, consideration of a waiver of a connection and impact fee for Eric Nelson.
So I went back through and took a deeper look at our resolution on this matter, and then I called Reed Erickson for some clarification on how the county is going to operate. So there were some concerns within our staff on if there was somebody who had a lot, like a 20-acre lot, and they build a structure on there that's over 800 square feet, that triggers that they have to bring in additional water, and that's what our resolution says. And but there was then concern about, well, should they pay another connection fee and impact fee in case that lot splits? And so that's why, you know, we were like, okay, we need to really take a look at this. I called Reed and got some clarification that if that lot does split, then they have to go through the subdivision process, and at that time they would have to have a separate connection, and the county would require them to do that. And so I feel confident in the way that our current resolution, what it says, and basically that if there's another house being, or an 800 square foot structure that's being built on a parcel, they would need to bring in additional water, but not we would not require them to have a second meter and second connection until that lot was actually split. There's a lot of difficulties for them to do that. They within the county, they have to be, number one, they have to be within, you know, within range of sewer, and a number of other things. And so this specific person, Eric Nelson, he has already transferred 2 acre feet of water to his property, so he'll just be taking out some of his turf and converting that over to his mother-in-law's house. So what initially, as we had kind of looked at this and had some heartburn, I think we've kind of resolved that internally, talked with Justin about it, and I think we're okay to move forward internally. I just want to make sure too that the board is in agreement with that, you feel comfortable with, good with that.
I think if the county's doing that as part of subdivision anyway, that's fine. And you know, for these, I think 800 square foot, that's the is that part of the, is that the county's accessory dwelling requirements as part of that state law, or is it just for any kind of outbuilding that may have a resident?
I don't know specifically what their terminology is on that for as far as like that, but I know that they recently changed this back in July or August as well, when we were looking at it, kind of looking at it together. And so their requirements for their fees are, you know, is that threshold of anything over 800 square feet, it triggers them to different things that they look at. So
right. and for these smaller buildings, I mean, arguably, there's just as good a chance that it's going to take out some landscaping now.
Yeah.
Than
no.
Using more, especially for vacation homes. And I know they don't want to lease that much, but anything smaller, you know, our building structure is tiered, so they're paying more if they're using more anyway. So if we need to adjust that in the future, you know, that's fine, but I'm okay with that policy.
Okay.
Got that motion?
Well, I don't know. So we need a motion.
We're just need a motion.
We just
okay. Just approve.
Just need to know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next item is to consideration to an agreement for Painted Desert subdivision.
Okay. They're not threatening at all.
No, they're not threatening, but it is about potential acquisition of property. So we probably have a closed session.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, but before we get to the next item, so this is in in the folders. I know this tab is different, but you know, this little part that has like our table of duties, that's what we were, is that what we were looking at, or are we going to come back to this again?
I think I'm going deaf. I really can't hear you. What are you saying?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the table of duty, that's what we'll be, yeah, we'll be discussing that.
We'll be discussing that again later, this water right transfer, water right requirements.
Yes, kind of stuff. Yeah, that's part of an agreement. That,
I see.
An acquisition we talked about.
A couple items I had on that, but I'll
Bring
those up when we come back to that.
All right, we'll deal with that one in closed session. So number nine is a time for public comment. So anyone here would like to comment? Bob, do you want to comment?
Yeah, but I don't think you want to hear it.
Okay, well, we don't want to hear anything we don't want to hear.
Highly political.
So surprised.
Not, if no one has anything they'd like to say, then the next item is to discuss our district infrastructure improvements, Chick Shawnee Cliffs and the Sunset Subdivision Water Improvement Project. So,
yeah, so the Chick Shawnee Cliffs project is finally gaining some traction. The contractor was able to put enough pressure on the supplier that we think that we're going to have our valves in another, what, week, Tracy? Is that right? So we should have all the valves and should be able to wrap up that portion of the project pretty within the next week. And then a couple of remaining items, the pump guy was down there installing the pump yesterday. And so he'll probably have that done within the next week or so. And then we've just got to have our electrician and our SCADA guys to go down there and finish it up. We tried something new for a well house. Instead of building them out of block and or concrete, we purchased a Connex box and poured a cement floor, and then they just lifted it up and put it right on all of our plumbing, and it looks really neat. The guys were down there yesterday and they completely framed the inside of it, and they're just waiting for electrical to come in, and then we'll insulate it and sheetrock it. And we spent some time earlier as well painting it, and they put some type of rubber seal or something on the roof, right? But it was really interesting because it was a darker colored, like a green Connex box initially, and it was hot as could be in there this summer. And then after they painted it, it was still in the summer. You'd go in there, and it was just nice. So anyway, it did save us. Just on the structure itself, saved us about $60,000 for, you know, basically all we need is something to protect everything on the inside. I guess $60,000, we did frame it, and that, how much did that cost? And lumber?
About $700.
$700 lumber, what's it going to cost for sheetrock and insulation?
Probably another $5,000.
So, yeah, still $60,000.
So is the Conservancy District going to want to get into the affordable housing business?
Yeah, Connex boxes everywhere. Anything else, Tracy, on Chick Shawnee?
We've done everything as far as the install. It's finished. They just passed the pressure test 2 days ago. They've drained the line out from chlorinated water to do a hot batch in it to kill the bacteria inside it. They're going to be filling that up, but like Paul was saying, we have to finish the inside of the new well house and cut and change over the existing well house to match up with the new one. And it's looking good now. People should be happy in Chick Shawnee that things are progressing like they are right now.
So they're almost ready to get new water then.
Yep.
That's exciting.
There will be a process with that, and it'll probably start after the first of the year, but we'll have to finish up the assessment area on that where they'll pay the fee. It looks like it's $3,800, right, Jess, is what each resident will likely have to pay, $3,800. As part of the assessment area fee, there'll be a hearing process with three consecutive days. We'll have to have the executive committee meet and allow people to come in. And so we'll set up some days where they can come in and discuss any issues, and then we'll approve it and finalize that. So that'll be coming up probably about around the first of the year.
Good. All right. Is that everything else? Check, Sean, is anything else you want to say?
Just can't wait for it to get done.
Yeah. The Sunset project, we started cutting in some laterals, and we'll start installing the pipe probably around the 1st of December. Sound about right, Tracy?
About first or second week, yeah.
First or second week of December, we'll start installing pipe.
When are you going to put that well in operation? As soon as you get the pipe?
Yeah, we've got some bids out right now on well drillers to be able to retrofit the well. And so we need to retrofit it, and we'll have to put in the surface seal and have the drinking water certify the seal. And then we just need to drop in the pipe, and we're going to do the same thing out in that area. We're going to pour a concrete pad and put in a Connex box for the well house. And then we'll be able to tie it in. But we'll be able to tie in the subdivision just to the regular system for now as well. And we can should be able to get that in, and probably would be able to quickly get it in as well with the potential of the new equipment. So, and that's in the other flyer too. We can talk about that right now, I guess. There's a handout that shows the different prices on the Mini X that we received. Jeff, do you want to talk about those?
I can't stand it. So aside from the obvious prices and make and model, the attractive one is the least expensive. However, the Caterpillar at $82,006 is very similar in size, but it's got a bigger engine, which with the same job of work, less hard, so less stress on the mechanical parts of it. So I think our suggestion would be the Caterpillar, but your guys' decision on that.
I'm looking at the construction guys on this one. So.
I'm in on the Caterpillar. That's one we own in our business. It's a good machine. But that's my opinion.
Would you justifiably be able to justify spending the extra $8,000 on the CAT?
Yeah, from a business standpoint, yeah, I did. Felt like the overall performance was the highest when we were looking at those, as far as maintenance and everything else. And then one nice thing is we have Case here too in town, but we have the Cat Beaver here in town that can work on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're right across the street from me, so
right.
They have an edge on availability too. They over the Case.
Are they available?
Yeah, the Cat's available by end of the year,
but the Case is June.
Case is June.
The
Velco, which is probably less quality, is available now.
This machinery business is insane.
I
tried to buy an $80,000 grain drill, and the bid was $110,000, and it won't deliver until 2023.
Yeah, the cat machine compared to that Cabelco it's 3,000 pounds heavier too, which is kind of what we were looking at. It's the ideal machine that we were looking at as far as weight and size and power. And so that would be, obviously, that would be our preference, is the 306.
All right. Well, I guess.
Did you check on servicing? Cat's got a pretty good service system. Will they loan stuff out if something breaks while it's under warranty?
Yeah, just say there's someone local here for that.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference, because you go down and they'll supply,
Right.
And I know in Idaho, Cat will do that. In Burley, they'll supply us with another machine while they're fixing ours.
The Kabelka would also be serviced in Cedar. It's by case.
They do it by
case. So, I mean, it's not like they wouldn't be able to take care of the machine either. So, I mean, as far as service, there's really, both of them have that good possibility of being taken care of here in town.
Well, we need to make a motion to do this.
I think it's within the budget. It's not necessarily. I don't think we need a motion, but I wanted to make sure that we had approval.
Kind of like consensus.
Consensus of a direction to go.
Okay. Well, I think that's. Does anybody want to have any?
Thumbs up.
I agree with you. I think that's.
Mine's paid for itself twice since I bought it, so I think it's a good investment for the.
Okay, you got the green light then. Okay, yeah, that's.
So is that everything on Sunset?
Yeah, that's everything on Sunset, and if they can get it quicker, we'll be able to get our job done quicker. Or maybe we'll wait till January to start digging when it's real cold.
See whether it can.
Makes it easier.
Makes you work faster.
Especially that frost gets down there by ways, it's much better.
Oh, you don't have frost nowadays, it's global warming, you know. It doesn't freeze anymore. Okay, where are we at with our water improvement project?
USDA had a couple of items that we needed to get cleaned up. They had some international conferences and had a couple of other things that they needed from us. One of them was a letter from Justin and some additional advertising. And so we got that published in the paper, and just crossing a couple T's and dotting a couple I's, they said that there's funding available, and they're excited to see this project come through. So I think on that note, I did want to just share a little bit of information on some of the ARPA funding. With the new infrastructure bill that was just passed, there's going to be, you know, a large amount of money that's going to be coming through, and we're going to just present and try and provide as many opportunities as we can to put that to good use here. One item that I've been talking with Rex Shipp about is getting a direct appropriation from the legislature. $5 million for the engineering of the Pine Valley Water Supply Project. So we're going to work with him and try and go after that, just so that we can have that done and accomplished. And then when the community's ready, we'll be able to have a project that's ready to go. So that's a big focus. And I'll just introduce, this is Clint Rogers. For everyone, Clint, his entity is with Stantec, but they've been really helpful in directing us to where a lot of these funds are going to go and end up, and where we can have applications and our knees down and palms up begging for it. So appreciate his help with that. That's all I have on the water improvement project.
Okay. What else do we need to talk about Pine Valley?
Last month we talked about putting in a weather station, and the board was Stoneco, right?
It's his voice.
Yeah. It's doing all kinds of things now.
That cold's getting you.
It's
Justin's fault. So we looked deeper into that, and to get a system put in out there with installation, it is is $40,100. And so that's the Campbell Scientific. There really wasn't any comparables, at least within the state of Utah. We tried to look out some others in California and things like that, but they didn't materialize. And so that's the entity that's known here in Utah that does it. They're the same entity that does all of the monitoring. We have all the monitoring stations for all of our stream gauges and all of our flow sensors for our recharge. So it's similar equipment, except for this will be a really tall tower. for wind gauge, rain gauge, and everything else. Go out and install that on Pine Valley. So.
Did we put that in the budget for next year?
It's not in the budget for next year, but as was I kind of highlighted, as far as you know, there's $200,000 in that buildings and infrastructure that I think that could be associated with that. It is a structure. We definitely have plenty of resources this year, in the current year, 2021, that we could put towards that if you'd like us to move forward on that.
Would that be the same kind of setup that the snow fell sites are?
Similar, yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing. So, we've got to identify which cell provider we can get cell service. That way we can have live data that will be updated. That's really important, especially out there where you're not able to go out there and check on it very often, just so that we can monitor and make sure that data is coming in and see that there's no issues.
Do we have any cell service out there?
I know there's a spot a little bit higher from where our property is. Where we drilled, it was well number 7, and you can get Verizon service there. And so I'm wondering, you know, we're going to have a 30-foot tower on this weather gauge, so I'm hoping that we can do that. I've also looked on T-Mobile's website, and it looks like they have coverage out there. It's right on a shadow of, pretty close, right on a line of where they may or may not. So I need to find somebody who's got a T-Mobile cell phone that I can take out there. And see what kind of service they have right at our property. But if not, I think with that 30-foot tower, we should be able to ping into Verizon service. Because it's not very far away. That's why it's doing that. Does that do that in City Council?
Never.
Additionally, with Pine Valley, a couple of updates on our environmental impact statement. We've had for 6 weeks, our application has been sitting on the Secretary of Interior's desk, and just no movement. So it's been approved from our regional office, it thoroughly vetted and gone through it, the state office, national office, it's been had approvals all the way up, and it's just been sitting on this desk waiting for them to, all they have to do is publish it on the public registry, the Department of Interior. And a little bit frustrating because they told our local office at the national level that everything was good to go, so they went ahead and published it on the EPA side, which means we're just open for public comment for everybody to come in and you know, just comment, when typically it's only a 90-day process. So we've exceeded our 90 days already that we've been open to public comment, but we can't start our timeline on that because we haven't officially published with the Department of Interior. And so, you know, that's part of the reason why we see some of the outside environmentalists that are prodding within our own community is because we have this public comment that is open, which is fine. You know, we're fine with people as long as they'll actually get in and read the data and see what's there. But the did get some good news on that, talking to Gloria Tibbetts, who is the regional director of BLM here. She said that they have just received direction from the national office that they need to push this project forward and move it forward. So that's good in the sense that now they can go back to the national office and say, and they have been asking this and been asking the last couple of days, saying, okay, you're asking us to move this project along, but we can't because you guys haven't published it. So additionally, I've been talking with our congressional staffers, and they've been emailing the Department of Interior asking for an update. They've called. They've called four or five, or sent emails and called four or five times. There's one time that Heath was able to get in touch with somebody, and they said that they would, they'd get back to him. So, but they've never gotten back to them. Transcon Environmental has said that, there was a guy who worked in the Department of Interior that said, I've never seen a project get held up this long. But he said during the Obama administration, it was common that projects would get held up and they just stagnate and sit there. So I think that we all just kind of got used to some of President Trump's streamline in the administrative process, where, you know, basically he eliminated this and by saying, okay, look, you know, these projects, you can't just sit on somebody's desk, you need to do something about it. Which, that's the frustrating part, is right, was we're following everything in NEPA guidelines and law, and we're at a point right now where all we're trying to do is publish this so that people can have a chance to look at it and comment to see what the issues are. And so that's kind of where we're at. But I feel a little more optimistic, well, quite a bit more optimistic than I have in the last month, because we actually have heard that they want us to move this project along, or they want our BLM office to move along. So that's a good thing.
Good. Maybe it's me.
No, I think he was doing it before he was on. I don't know how it would be feedback. Scott, you're the mic guy, aren't you?
We had a little problem this morning. Nothing like this. Nothing like this.
Okay. Well, let's fly through the rest of it. Real quick, on that weather station, I don't recall. Did I get a nod of approval on that weather station? Turn it way down, maybe.
Just reboot it.
Did I get a nod of approval on that weather station within that budget line then? Okay. Good job. All right.
All right, then next. Next item is to talk about water conservation, aquifer recharge, and the water wastewater treatment plant idea.
On the water conservation side, we're just plugging along. Jessica's working on looking at some different grant options to be able to implement some more conservation strategies here in the basin. On aquifer recharge, we're just gearing up for more recharge.
You're recharging some now, are you?
I think everyone's pretty well taking all the water now, aren't they,
yeah,
Tracy?
Yeah, all the livestock owners are taking.
Are they?
Yeah.
We're getting a little dribble at the western rock tip, but nothing.
When that last snowstorm, we were able to recharge quite a bit.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
First about a week.
But these guys, you have to go out and see. We've made some additional improvements out at Quitchapa to be able to take more water, and building a weir so that we can measure that, and then we'll be able to add in some more infrastructure too, SCADA telemetry, so that we can measure total amounts. Those are some requirements we have through that state grant, and we'll be using those resources from the state grant for that.
Good, so. Good. Very good.
The reuse and wastewater treatment plan, I know Cedar City passed the MOU on that, and we'll just follow through with that process and continue down the line of trying to put that to a better use. That's all I have on that.
Okay. All right, then we're down to general manager's report. So what else do you need to report on?
Tracy, anything else operation-wise we didn't talk about?
We're just crazy busy. I mean,
like everybody else. We just finished inspecting and approving two subdivisions, Painted Desert, as well as Rancho Bonita Phase 2. They are probably going to be starting the water part of the estates at Sunrise Ranches, probably in a couple of weeks. They're just finishing up putting in the sewer. And so we'll be starting on inspections on that one. We'll be starting on inspections. What's the one across the street from Sunrise?
It's Non-Arc.
It's a different one. It's called
just Mid Valley Acres.
Mid Valley Acres. And so, you know, we've just got all kinds of projects going, from recharge structures to Connex box framing to everything else. So
all the pumps working okay?
What's that?
The pumps, they all working all right?
We can highlight Czechshawnee.
Yeah, we're starting to have an issue with Czechshawnee. I think we've got a hole in the pump pipe. That has dropped from 140 gallons a minute down to 60 right now, and it's just getting worse. And so that's something we'll probably take a look at soon, is replacing that pump pipe. Because if we're still a month and a half out, we've got to have water for those guys. We're trying to determine whether or not we have a brand new pump and motor sitting at the existing Czechshawnee well house. And so we're trying to determine whether or not it's worth it, because we're going to idle that thing forever, hopefully, and only have to worry about it in emergency situations. So do we just replace the pump pipe and hope that the well continues to do what it's done? It's been a great well. It's lasted for over 20 years. Or do we replace the pump pipe right now and also put the brand new motor and pump on it? So we're going to try to decide what to do there. But we do probably need to go ahead and have Bert go ahead and replace the pump pipe, because it's getting worse every time it kicks on. So
yeah, you're sure that's the problem?
Fairly certain, just because it went from 140 to 80 in one start.
So.
And so we feel like it broke a hole through that pipe, and it just continued to get bigger, and it's going down from 80. Now it's down under 60. So we'll figure that out here really soon.
Okay, you don't have anything else on operations, Paul?
Nope, I don't think so. On the public education, of course, we've been working quite a bit on that. We've got a big meeting coming up on December 7th at 6:30. So make sure you guys are, as you're out talking to everyone, that you share this information with them about this meeting, and that we want them to come, and that you're going to be there, and that you want them to be there. So we're excited about that.
Are people submitting questions?
Yeah, we're starting to get questions coming in, and nothing alarming from what we haven't already heard and what we want to address. So. Yeah, some concerns about environmental concerns, and then obviously the financial fiscal concerns. Those are kind of the two that we anticipated. And those are ones that we've seen so far.
I had one fellow ask me about the $700 a month water bill. He was going to. Yeah. I told him to cool his jets. But
yeah, just tell him to come to the meeting on December 7th. So.
Paul, we did include one of those flyers in the back of their binder. Jess made some.
These?
Yeah. Okay. And then Jess made some that you guys could have on hand. Maybe you
perfect.
Already talked about
thank
them,
you.
So.
No, that's perfect.
Good.
Jess did a great job on this.
So we've got a good panel there. And Chris Holmes from the radio will be the moderator. So. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Board members, or anybody have any reports to make? That means we haven't done anything then, huh? All right, then we're down to engineering
Spencer
report.
Spencer has nothing.
What?
Oh, I just said Spencer has nothing.
Oh, okay. We thought you'd gone to sleep. We hadn't heard anything from you.
We heard from you.
snoring, so.
Okay, we don't have an engineer here to give a report. Is there anything that they should have been here to report?
Yeah, I don't, they passed on that information about the weather station to me, and then the only other thing is where we passed our budget, I don't know or foresee any reason to have a meeting on the 16th, so, of December. So
when's the party? We're going to have a party, aren't we?
The party's going to be on the 9th. We're going to hold it at Bowman's again. And I'll be sending out a little invitation that probably looks like last year's and have you guys RSVP to me if that works.
Is that 9th of December?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So that'll be 2 days after our big meeting, so that'll be good.
Yes. And if you don't come, I'll hold a grudge the entire year.
Okay, well, hopefully then our next meeting will be the 20th of January.
Okay.
All right. If there's no further business, I'll entertain a motion that we
need a closed meeting.
Go into a closed session.
Make a motion when we close our regular meeting, go into a closed session.
I'll make a motion that we close the regular meeting as planned and enter a closed session.
Okay, Spencer made the motion. Someone want a second?
No second.
Yeah. Roll call.
Roll call, okay. Tyler?
Hi.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Spencer. Spencer.
Did you say hi, Spencer?
He made the motion.
He made the motion.
Yes, I did. Hi.
Okay.
I'm
Kidding. Mr. Hunter, how are you doing,
buddy?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought
I was
going
to have to
send
out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That was a cool joke.
I was ready for it.
Yeah. Yep. That's outside environmentalists. There's a big bunch in Nevada, and there's got three board members from Patagonia and Great Basin Water Network is one of the guys. And there's a big money behind the Basin Water Network.
You know?
Well, they've got even a big one behind them.
Up to speed. Well, I don't know.
The only thing I care about is the price of
gas.
And my friends.
What's going on?
Are you sure you were going to go on
I'm coming from a religious family.
That's where I'm at. It's kind of a sad deal around there.
Which one do you usually go on for in training? That's what I was going to say. I trust this one.
My say doesn't matter. Sorry. Hard on it. And then you're going to just hit stop or just hit hold.
So yeah, we can pitch those people around the slide.
Okay.
Great.
And now power on.
All right, thanks. See you guys. Okay, I'll go back and revisit that.
Make a motion that you can go forward on that on the proposal on the negotiations that's discussed in the closed meeting.
I'll second that.
Was that in the closed meeting?
Yeah, that was a motion.
Yeah, once we got out of the closed meeting.
Yeah.
Second.
All
in favor?
Aye. Now a motion to adjourn.
Hi. We'll get
to
practice.
Yeah, yeah, I can get going. Waste any time.
Yeah, let's keep going sometime.
Yeah.
Well, so the 30-second special needs trust plan, unless you have a money that you're setting aside, today, if you want to lock up a power for you for them today,
yeah, right?
So then you can get the question to you today.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
we got a hundred
or whatever.
The water, do you know what water's actually?
Yeah.
Good guys.
Even later, because we know which ones are being used.
Yeah.
And then it sits empty for a while.
And then the water change.
You cut those water rights.
We want to do just a quick.
If you do this,
I'm happy to go off. I'll be able to do these.